Well, good morning again. So if you want to follow along, we're going to be in John chapter 1, although we're going to bounce all over the place this morning. So many of our scriptures will appear on screen. If any of them don't, you're welcome to come ask me afterwards, and I'll happily tell you where they were. I want to invite you, I mentioned this earlier, but for those who weren't here as we started this morning, I want to invite you to be a part of one of our life groups. Our life groups are just are wonderful opportunities to get to know some new people, to encourage each other in the midst of life together. I think it's just going to go quickly. That's impressive. And so our life groups are kicking off today. It's a great chance to get to know some of the other members of our church, to meet some people you might share some like interests, to share the most important thing we have in common, which is Jesus. But from talking to so many over the course of the past few weeks, many of the reasons they've landed and stuck in our church is because of the relationships they formed at life groups. So please come and see me. I'll be at the life group table, and I'll happily help you find one in which might work for your time, your schedule, or your area of interest. Also, I want to then invite you to invite other people to be a part of our Friends and Family Day that's coming up September 22nd. Invite people to come along with you to worship together, to eat some great food, to fellowship together. We would love to have them with us that morning. I remember it like it was yesterday. Heart racing, palms sweating, knees shaking. I picked up the phone, and then I put it back down again. Once, twice, three times, playing with the phone cord nervously. Now, for those of you under the age of 20 or so, there used to be these things plugged into the walls called landlines, all right? The family had one phone. It was the dark ages, I know. And it usually sat in a pretty public place. And so if you wanted any privacy at all, you got a really long cord. You know what I'm talking about? And you'd go find a little place to hide out. My family had two phones, so we had a little bit of privacy built in, but they were still in very public places. So here I was, with the phone in my hand, finally working up the nerve, and I dialed a number that now I knew by heart, and her dad came on the line. That was loud. Wow. And so then I had to ask to speak to Lauren. And then as she came on the line, I nervously had to kind of stutter out. So I was wondering, that is, I was hoping that maybe you would like to just, I don't know, maybe go to prom with me or something. Yeah, I was really smooth, right, at 16. Now, Lauren was my best friend in youth group. We had known each other since we were six. There was not really an awful lot of romantic interest here, although she's wonderful. But it was still fear-inspiring, nerve-wracking, nausea-inducing. That moment was a fear of asking, a fear of not knowing, a fear of ruining our friendship, the fear of rejection. And those same feelings that I still can remember like yesterday are often the feelings I get when I think about inviting somebody to church. Because this isn't just some random stranger, typically. This is somebody I have some sort of relationship, friendship with. Will this make things weird? If I ask, what are they going to say? And so all those fears come rolling back. The fear of asking, the fear of not knowing, the fear of ruining a friendship, that fear, ultimately, of rejection. And when I invite somebody to study the Bible or into some sort of evangelistic conversation, those feelings are even stronger. Because suddenly, I'm sharing something that is integral to me. It's a vital part of my faith. It's my faith in Jesus. Because I believe that He has forgiven me of my sins. He has made me new. He has changed my life, my future, my trajectory. He has become my hope and my purpose. I have nothing really without Jesus at the center. And I want my relationship with Him to be primary. And honestly, I want others to know that hope that I have because I believe that there is nothing that is more important, more meaningful, more vital, and there's no better decision that somebody can come to than coming to know Jesus. Now, I believe all of that. And then it comes to picking up the phone or sitting down at the table and opening my mouth. And suddenly I become afraid again. So that's my confession today. I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room who feels that way. But we invite people to things that are important to us, to birthdays and baby showers and weddings, retirements, to meet those who matter to us. Invitations are our ways that we show that somebody matters and that we care, that you are important to us. Indeed, we find a very similar thing happening in the Gospels. We find people inviting others to things they find important. And so we come to this story that Josiah read for us this morning. And we encounter Jesus at a very integral moment in his ministry. Just before this, he had been baptized by John. He spent 40 days in the desert fasting and praying and being tempted by Satan. And when he came back from the wilderness, and this story is possibly in the first few hours of being back in town, so he is still looking kind of haggard and raggedy, we have this interaction. John the baptizer looks out and says, "Look, the Lamb of the God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one that I meant when I said, a man comes after me who has surpassed me because he was before me." And then John began to speak about how he saw the Holy Spirit come down and he testified that this is God's chosen one. And if Jesus is fresh out of the desert, John's disciples listening to him must be thinking, "That guy? Seriously, the Lamb of God? He kind of smells a little bit like a sheep at the moment, but he looks more like the scapegoat sent into the desert. I don't think that's the guy we're looking for." But the next day, John makes the very same statement again. "Look, the Lamb of God." And the disciples take the hint. They begin following along behind Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." Jesus simply offers them an invitation. If you want to know, if you want to see, then come along and decide for yourself. So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent the day with him. And this is one of those stories that just has a lot of missing detail. Because if I were to write this story, I would want a whole lot more information here. What happened during that time? Where did they go? What did they see? What did they talk about with Jesus? That's all the stuff that I wish I knew. But the gospel writer just doesn't tell us. But there is something in the midst of that encounter, in that interaction with Jesus, that changes everything. Because Andrew, one of the two, immediately went to find his brother. He says, "Simon, I got to tell you, you are not going to believe it. You picked the wrong day to stay home because we have found the Messiah. You have got to come and meet him. You've got to see this guy for yourself." And so Andrew brought him directly to Jesus. And the next day, Andrew and Peter and Jesus head towards Galilee, where they encounter another man from their hometown named Philip, and Jesus invites him to just follow me. And Philip actually does. And again, we don't know what was said, we don't know what he saw, but there was something in Jesus that he recognized, because the very next thing that he does is he runs off and he finds his brother, Nathanael. We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about the prophets who also wrote. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, they were from a hometown just over the hilltop from Nazareth. They, you know, if it were this day and age, they would have been rivals in football. That's how close together they were. And so Nathanael's response is, "Nazareth, can anything good come from that podunk town?" And Philip doesn't bother arguing. He just says, "Come and see." And over again, this story is repeated throughout the Gospels. People encounter Jesus, and then they run off to tell other people about what it is that they've seen. There is this Samaritan woman who is just minding her own business one day. She went to a well to draw some water. And there she finds this Jewish man sitting beside the well outside of town. And lo and behold, he asked her just for a drink of water, which is not something that a Jewish person would ever really ask a Samaritan. And then they begin a conversation. And she's surprised that this Jewish male would talk to her because the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other on principle. Jesus opens with the request. He moves to a spiritual application. Then he reveals that he knows more about her than she could ever imagine. So she moves the conversation onto a religious topic, a discussion about where they should worship, since that was the huge fight that was causing the rift between their peoples, and it was definitely taking the discussion away about her life and her background. And Jesus tells her a time is coming when worshipers, true worshipers, aren't going to be based on place or people, but will worship the Father with spirit and in truth. And she becomes the very first person to hear from Jesus that he is the long-awaited Messiah. And throwing everything else aside, she hurries back into town and tells everybody that she can find, come. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? This story replays over and over as people encounter Jesus, as he speaks, as he teaches, as he heals, and they immediately go and invite others to experience it too. Because in Jesus, they found someone worth inviting others to meet. And indeed, we find that Jesus has become their model of invitation, because that is the way in which he goes about doing his ministry too. Just listen to these words that come from his mouth. Come, follow me, and I will send you to fish for people. If anyone thirsts, let them come to me and drink. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and rest. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Come and share in your master's happiness. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come. Jesus goes out inviting, time after time, person after person. And he does it because he came to call sinners. He does it because the kingdom of God has come near. He does it because the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. He came because the Son of Man came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Ultimately, he goes out inviting because Jesus loves us that much. And so he lives a life of invitation. And so he invites, and those people invite others. And the cycle continues over and over, because in Jesus we found someone worth inviting others to meet. Chances are that's how you became a Christian. If you were raised in a Christian home, your parent or your parents took you along, but it was a subtle invitation. This is important to us. This is what I believe. We want you to believe it too. And then at some point, or thousands of little points along the way, they were inviting you to believe it too. Or maybe if you left church for a while, you have a story kind of like Kevin's he shared this morning, where somebody just invited you back, said, we would love for you to come and be a part. Or maybe if you came to faith some other way, chances are somebody invited you into a conversation, a discussion, a relationship, a Bible study, a chance to visit church with them or to come and serve. But at some point in your life, you've encountered the invitation of Jesus. And all it takes is offering somebody the opportunity. Come and see, come and hear, come and question, come and experience, come and meet Jesus, come and believe. Offering an invitation is a nerve-wracking experience. Because we're putting something on the line that we believe in, something that is vital to us, that's important, that we hold dear. So how do we go about inviting others? How do we live invitationally? Well, first, I think it begins with prayer. And we pray prayers that intimate connection with the one in whom we believe. And if you have a deep relationship with God and you spend more time with God, then you're not going to worry so much about what other people think about you or how they react to you. So I want to encourage you to be in prayer, and specifically to be in prayer about people in your life, people that you want to have come to know Jesus. And that's not just for another notch in your evangelism belt, because none of that really matters in the grand scheme of things. But it's because we love them so much that we want them to know the Lord that we love and follow. A few weeks ago, I encouraged us to create a list of 5 people in your life that you want to be praying for and maybe inviting into a spiritual conversation or to come along with you to church. So who's on your list? Who is it that you've been praying for? My list is kind of always changing. But at the moment, it's got 2 sets of neighbors that live just kind of directly across from us, that our kids play together, they interact, they have a lot of fun together. And so I pray for Kian and Nathan. And I pray for Pablo and Maria. I pray for their kids. I'm praying about the couple that owns the coffee shop where I work at least one day a week. I'm praying about 2 separate people that I get the joy of ministering alongside of in the Navy, Petty Officer Oliver and a Lieutenant Treshman. And I'm praying for some of the Rice volleyball players that we've gotten to know over the past couple of years. Now, people are always kind of cycling in and out of my list, but those are the people that right now I'm intentionally praying for. So who does your list include? Because I want to encourage you to be in prayer about the people that you want to come to know Jesus. The second thing is pray for boldness. Because most of us, this is a hard thing for us to do. Am I right? Inviting somebody to anything can be hard. Inviting somebody to church can be just the scariest thing ever. And here's the thing. I make myself feel better because even Paul, that great evangelist, asked others to pray that he could be bold. Because it didn't come naturally for him either. So pray for boldness. Boldness in sharing and inviting. The third is look for opportunities, because I believe God makes them happen. Conversations occur. People show up that you've been praying about. They suddenly ask a question that kind of allows something to begin to germinate within them. And if you are doing those things, if you're praying for others, you're praying for boldness, you're looking for opportunities, the last thing you got to do is ask. Right? And it really is that simple. If you want to add a 5th one, add this: don't be weird. It didn't make the list because you can still be weird and people will come with you. It happens. But here's the thing. If these are people that you care about and you cared enough to pray and you're looking for opportunities, then just do it. And if they say no, then that's cool. Keep on loving and praying for them. And if they say yes, then that's cool too. Keep on loving and praying for them. Who is it that's on your list? Who's on your heart? Who is it that God has placed in your life? Because you might be the person who sparks the interest, who offers the invitation that God is already offering to them. Because God invites all of us to come and see. Just come and try it out. It's why Jesus, as he came on the scene, invites people just to come and to listen, to come and to walk alongside, to come and experience. Come to me, all ye who labor and whose burdens seem awfully heavy. Come and I will give you rest. Come, all of you who thirst and drink, for you will find your sustenance in me. Come, ye who are looking for hope, for purpose, for joy, for life. So this is where you're going to find it. Come and see. That invitation is for anyone and everyone. If you don't know Jesus, we would love to help you come to know him a little bit more deeply. We want you to just come and experience who he is and ask all the questions that you have, because we believe he is worth following. We're going to offer a time of invitation here. If there's anything that is on your heart, anything you would like for us to be praying about, if there are Just if something's happening in your life and you would love for us to pray over you, can come and be specific about that, or you can just say, I need prayers, and we'll pray for you here. Or if you say, I want to start this journey with Jesus, I want to come and see what he's all about, then you're welcome to come forward now, and I'd love to sit and talk with you, set up a time we maybe could study and talk and hear what questions you have and kind of just delve into it together. I'd love the chance to do that. And if you're not a person who wants to respond publicly, I totally get that. Feel free to come and grab me before you leave, and I'll put you in touch with the right people. Today, I want you to know that God loves you, and he is calling you. He wants you to be with him. The response is up to you. May God bless us today. Let's sing together.